I went to a super small church that was like 80% old people, like really, really old people. And I'm allowed to say that because my Nana was one of the really old people that worked at the church that I was at. And being a kid who had family that worked at the church, I would sit in Sunday morning or Saturday night services quite frequently. And you guys would never believe the things that I saw there. I vividly remember sitting in a service, and during the service, the pastor would have people come up and he would start praying for them. That part is not weird at all. That part happens here all the time. Prayer, good thing. It gets weird, I promise. Now, the pastor would start saying a lot of really long, random, funny, fancy words that nobody could understand. Then at some point, he would grab the anointing oil, which is just fancy church oil that smells nice. Not like the oil that's currently leaking out of your car, but like the oil that your mom's friend constantly tries to sell you all the time. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, he would put the anointing oil on the person's forehead, and then he would place his whole entire hand on their forehead like this. Then he would say a million more other fancy words that five-year-old me was never in a million years going to understand. And then, you guys, this person would just fall to the ground. When I say fall, I mean no warning, dead weight, just bam. They just fell to the ground. And I was like, what is happening? Now, there was typically a person behind them that caught them when they fell so they didn't like break their neck or something. I have no idea. But it was terrifying. And I knew from that moment on, I never, ever wanted that pastor to touch my head or pray for me because surely I would fall down and die or something. And to make the situation even weirder, after the person fell, someone would grab this like satin blanket thing and they would lay it over them and then they would just walk away. Just leaving them on the ground till they like woke up or came back to life or something. You guys, it was terrifying. And as a five-year-old girl, at that point in my life, I said, I am never praying. That stuff is beyond crazy. This was my idea of prayer. I thought when you prayed, you might fall down and die, or that I would pray and someone else would randomly fall down, and I would have to travel the entire world, go find them, and cover them with this blanket so they didn't die. I feel that sometimes we think prayer is only something pastors have to do, or that surely at least half of the people that go to church pray regularly, and so we're covered. They have all the prayers for the entire world covered. We don't have to do it. We're fine. Or I thought that if it didn't sound like Shakespeare, that it wasn't good enough, and so God wouldn't hear you. He wouldn't listen. Or we might think that when praying, God just doesn't listen to us, that there are 7 billion people in this world, and even if a tenth of those people pray at the same time, how on earth is God supposed to listen and focus on us, and why would he want to? But none of those things I mentioned is what prayer is or what it's about. Prayer is literally just talking to God. It's a conversation, like you sitting on the phone with your very best friend, telling them all of the good and all of the bad that happened in the day, or just asking them for advice when things aren't going the way you planned. That is exactly what prayer with their Heavenly Father is like. It's telling God all the good and all of the bad things that happened in our day. It's repenting and asking him for forgiveness when we know we've messed up. It's thanking him for everything in this world that we have, and even all of the things that we don't. It's communication. It's trusting that he hears you and that he's going to come to your rescue. And I know there are many of us in this room that hear everything I just say and go, yeah, Jenny, that's really cool. But why? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to be the one to talk to God about this specific thing in my life? Or I'm already saved and I know that I'm going to heaven, so why on earth does prayer matter? Or I come to 4640 every week and I hear you guys talk and I worship Jesus and I feel his presence, so I'm good. Why should I bother listening to you? Why should I pray? And I say I get it because I asked every single one of those questions. So tonight, I want to help us answer those questions. Why is prayer important? Why on earth should we be praying? And that is because prayer is the lifeline to God. I went ahead and looked up the definition of the word lifeline to give us a better understanding of what this means. The word lifeline is a thing in which someone or something depends on, or that provides a means of escape from a difficult situation. So if we insert this definition into the previous statement, it would read, prayer is a thing in which we depend on and that provides escape from a difficult situation. And I wonder how many times we find ourselves in a difficult situation and we end up running to everyone and everything else but God when we need help. When you're having friend drama, how often is it that you go to your other friends as your first response for advice? When our parents are fighting or things aren't looking very good at home, how many times do we run to our other siblings or our friends for comfort? When you fail the test and you're extremely stressed and you have so much anxiety and you have no idea how you're going to go home and tell your parents you failed because they know they're going to be really, really mad at you. And now you're sitting here thinking, well, now I'm going to fail the class and I don't know if I'm going to get into this college. Who's the first person that you talk to? Because I know in my life, there have been hundreds of times where I ran to everyone and everything else but God. Talking to God is my last resort. But if prayer is our lifeline to God, then he's the first person we run to. Not the second, not the last, the first. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We don't have to worry about all of the crazy things happening in our life or around the world right now, because God says he knows exactly what you need. But he has to be the first person we seek, the first person that we talk to, and the first person that we run to. God knows what we need, but he's not going to come into your life and just flip everything upside down without your invitation. He's not going to come in and fix everything and bring healing and restoration and peace and all of those things that you so desperately crave if we don't let him in. Revelation 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." He sees you. He knows you need help and he knows you need advice. And he desperately wants to celebrate through every single part of your life with you. But our God is a gentleman. So he doesn't just barge into your life. He steps back and he stands at the door and he knocks. And he knocks, waiting for us to invite him in. Because he's not going to come into a place when he's not welcomed or invited. So we have to seek him first, above all else. We have to depend on him wholeheartedly more than we depend on anyone else. So we should be praying not only because he is our lifeline, but also because we can't be who God has called us to be if we aren't connected to him. If we spend our whole entire life never asking God what he wants next from us, never taking directions or guidance from him, never relying on him, then we are relying only on our own will and our own strength. Part of having a relationship with Jesus is relying on him completely and his strength, not our own. Without Jesus, without his direction, without the strength from him, we can't be anything that he has called us to be. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We have to stay in constant connection with him. We have to recognize that we can't do this life on our own, that we can't fight all of our battles on our own. Prayer is recognizing that we need help, that we do need Jesus. Prayer is saying, "I can't do it without you, God, so I put my trust in you." Prayer is saying, "I can't have lasting joy without you. I can't have peace in the midst of this storm, so Jesus, please come help me. It's your strength, not mine. I need you, Jesus." Prayer is saying, "I don't care what my thoughts or agendas are, but God, I put my trust in you because I know that your ways are better than my ways. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Before I was even born, you knew me. And because of that, I will trust you. I will choose to speak to you above all else and listen to you." Even when it comes to something as simple as, which job should you take? Is it Taco Bell or is it McDonald's? That might sound like one of the easiest decisions you've ever made in your whole life. Which food do I like to eat more, right? That's what I would pick, Taco Bell for sure. But instead of us just picking that, ask God. He knows which job you should take. He knows which job is going to give you better friendships. He knows which job is going to prepare you better for the future. Even if they seem like the same thing, God knows what you should do. Or maybe you're approaching your junior or your senior year of high school, or even graduation in a couple months for that matter, and you're trying to figure out, what on earth am I doing with my life? Am I going to college? Should I go to college? Should I work after high school? If I don't go to college, which job should I take? All of these things rush our brain. But ask him, because he has ordered every single one of your steps. From the moment you are born to the moment you die, and absolutely everything in between, he knows. And he has a plan for your entire life. So wouldn't it be so much better if we asked him and let him reveal those things to us instead of having to take a lot of left turns and wrong right turns along the way? It was only when I finally decided to do this in my own life that I learned who I was created to be, that I was more than just a younger sister standing in the shadow of my older sisters, that I was more than my enormous, and I mean enormous, fear of public speaking, but that God could use such a big fear for something so much more. That I was more than a girl who just had a passion to sing and to dance her little heart out, but that those things would be a part of my purpose and who I was created to be. That I was more than the millions and millions and millions of mistakes that I made, and the hundreds and millions and thousands of regrets that I had, but that I was called redeemed, chosen, and pure in the eyes of Jesus. You see, when we put ourselves completely aside and when we rely on Jesus and we connect to him daily, we find out who we are. Only through prayer and connection with God can he reveal to you who he has called you, amazing and beautiful, worthy and talented child to be. Not only is he our lifeline, not only do we need to be in constant connection with him, but we also need to know and realize that God hears you. That when you pray, he's not too distant or too busy listening to everyone else. He pays attention to every single word that you say. Psalm 116:2 says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. God physically bends down from heaven to listen to you. From the very first word you speak, you have his full attention. From the smallest thing in life that you pray for to the absolute biggest thing that you ever ask him, he is bending down from heaven to listen to you. But we have to trust that when we are talking to God, that he is listening and that he will come through for us. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Prayer is so incredibly powerful. It has the power to change any situation, even when it seems impossible. Your prayers change lives. Your prayers change circumstances. Your prayers matter. But as this verse says, when we pray, we have to believe that our prayers are answered even before we see the results. So what would you do if I told you that we have someone who has the answer for everything that we are going through? For the fear that we're facing, for the sin that we're stuck in, and for the joy that we have. And we have full access to Jesus, but we choose not to use it. It's like winning the lottery and not using the money. Think about that for a second. You win the lottery, thousands and millions and billions of dollars, and you don't ever use it. You might really, really need a new car. You might desperately want to go on a shopping spree, because I know I do. You might have bills that you need to pay. You might have college to pay for, yet you don't ever touch the money. It just sits and sits and sits. We have a God that is there, that is just desperately waiting for us to tap in, desperately waiting for us to entrust him with everything we have. So let me ask you a question. Are you just letting him sit there? Never asking a question, knowing that we may be struggling with our identity, knowing that we're going through something in our life that we desperately need peace or joy or comfort. Are we just letting him sit there? Or are you using the full gift of Jesus and relying on him to hear you and to come to your rescue? I remember there was a time in my life where I was really struggling with this concept of how on earth was I supposed to believe that a prayer is answered even before I see the results? On top of how on earth is the God of the universe supposed to listen to me? I had a family member in my life that had made a mistake, and they had the chance of facing possible jail time. And this person came to me and they asked me to pray for them. And I sat there and I wondered why on earth they would ask just 17-year-old me. There were so many other more spiritual and more qualified people to ask, yet this person came to me. This person asked me. So then me, the person struggling so hard with the idea of, well, does God really even hear me, prayed for that person. I knew that there had been countless times in the Bible where people prayed for things and they had so much faith that God was going to come through for them, even though they didn't know when or how. But they thanked him anyway, in advance, for answering all of their prayers. So even though I wasn't sure or I wasn't confident in my own prayers or if God would hear them or even answer them for that matter, I clung to the hope that somehow he might hear me, that somehow he might answer. I specifically remember praying for this person and that at absolute most, when the court made their decision that they would get nothing more than a small affordable fine and some community service. So fast forward a few days later, this person calls me on the phone and says, Jenny, you'll never, ever believe what just happened. And I say, of course, what just happened? And this person goes, the court made their decision and they ruled with a very small affordable fine and some community service. It was at this moment that God so sweetly showed me that he listens to every word we speak and no matter what, he will answer. Now, it may not always be the way that we think he should answer or in the timing that we wanted him to come answer, but he will always come through. Now, I don't tell you the story out of pride or to say, haha, look what God's done in my life, but instead to help you realize that he listens. And I wasn't some spiritual leader or pastor. I was just a naive teenage girl asking myself the same exact questions I have heard you guys ask time and time again. And let me tell you something. If he heard me, that also means he hears every one of you. He listens to you too. It wasn't anything special that I did. It was just a loving father bending down from heaven to listen to his child. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that he will do the exact same thing for you. And how do I know that? Because we serve the same God. And our God cannot deny who he is. He cannot go against what his word says. And he is a God who listens. He is a God who hears you. God wants all of our communication. He wants us to talk to him and he desires so desperately a relationship with us. And he sent Jesus so that that relationship was even possible in the first place. And because he saved us and we choose to follow him, we give back to him by tucking in, by showing him that we are actually serious about him. And we do this by consistently praying, day in and day out, day after day. We talk to him and then we take a step back and we give him room to speak and we listen. We give him room to tell us what to do next. What next step should we take? And we listen. Knowing that his way is far, far greater than anything we could ever ask for or imagine. So when you're getting up in the morning, or when you're going to bed at night, or when you're driving in your car on the way to school or on the way to work, and you find yourself really struggling with the question, God, why do I need to pray about this? Why do you care? I don't need to be the one to do it. There's so many other people. I need you to remind yourself that we pray because prayer is the lifeline to God. And at the sound of your voice, he comes to your rescue. We pray to be in constant connection with God and to find out who he has called each and every one of us to be, and then to live our life knowing that we have so much purpose. We pray because God hears us. He cares about every single word we think or even speak, and he will always, always, always come through. So I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, and I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you guys. God, I thank you for these amazing, amazing students. I thank you that week after week, they come to know and to learn more about you. And God, we say that we're sorry. We're sorry for the times that we have run to everyone and everything else but you when we needed help. We're sorry. We're sorry for doubting you and if you would truly care or even come to our rescue. And with that, I just ask, God, that you impart boldness in each and every one of these students, that you remind them that you're fighting each and every battle for them and that you are with them, that when they find themselves fighting the question of why, that you would remind them who you are, that you would remind them to run to you, the creator, instead of the things that you created. God, I bless them with confidence knowing that they are your children. Confidence knowing that you hear them and that you will come through for them. And at the sound of their voice, you drop everything and you listen. God, I thank you. Thank you so much for these students. I ask that you bless each and every one of them as they walk out of this room this week and into the rest of their week. We love you so much and we thank you. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the 4640 Student Center podcast. For more information on what's happening in 4640, you can check us out on social media and at our website, 4640gj.com. Service times are Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Hope to see you there.